Glory. Hallelujah. Well, dreams and visions are being fulfilled. And one of our dreams and visions was to bring on certain parties as God would allow and to become part of the staff or the working part of the church. We have many volunteers and people that do so much, and we could not. I prepare, and I try to prepare and spend multiple hours multiple hours go into any given message in essence. But there are other people that are part of this ministry that volunteer. They're working people, and they can only do so much, and they've done so much for years. But it was a vision for a long time for me to bring certain people on in a full-time position so that they could, and I knew, you know, we try not to do anything off the cuff around here, and just because we think it's a good idea. And we do everything we possibly can to pray everything into existence, God's timing, God's will. And for years, I knew in my spirit that Harry and Sarah was the next step for us for full-time ministry and their part. You can only do so much, you know, working a secular job, and you can only spend a certain amount of prayer. I understand that, and there, you can only spend a certain amount of devotion to your call. And so we've been praying for a long time, and then God began to lead me to even more, knowing at the beginning of this year that this was going to be something that was going to take place even in this year. And I began to talk to Harry and Sarah about it, and we began to pray about it all the more and believe God even for the finances for that to take place. Well, God began to do that, and I began to share that, and people outside of this congregation, and especially people in this congregation, have been a big part of helping that, to make that happen. So we're so thankful, but we don't hire anybody. We bring people in to a ministry. We receive them into the ministry. And there'll be more. There'll be more if they so choose in time to come, as God allows. But it's already having a wonderful effect. You can see that. Some things that we couldn't get done in time-wise, or he couldn't get done in time-wise. And now he's able to spend his week. And so we're so thankful for that. And in just a few moments, I'm going to have Homer. I guess Homer's still here. Maybe he's out to the restroom. But and others will come up, and we're going to pray over them. This is not an ordination service like ordained into the ministry, but it is a blessing that we're going to bless them and pray over them and pronounce God's blessings over them this morning. And I want you to be a part of it, because you're part of the church and the presence of God that comes into your living room. And my other two granddaughters, Isla and Drea, they reminded me during the break, you didn't say, I'm coming through the camera to get my hug. So I am coming through the camera to get my hug. These two guys are 7 weeks apart, and they have been buddies ever since they've been born. When they were about 2 years old and barely could talk, and they were sitting in our living room at a little table Candy had just for them because it was just their size, and we had fixed their Sunday lunch. And Drea, they could just talk enough that you could understand their sentences. And I happened to be standing there as Candy put their plates down, and Drea says, You okay, Isla? And she goes, yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay, Drea? They're just checking on each other from the very beginning. Buddies. Buddies. So they reminded me. But right now, I want us to, we're going to bless this couple. But before we do, I want you to go ahead. And can we get the lights? How awesome is that? That's so great. Would you guys come up here for a bit? Now, when I saw, you know, I keep trying to figure out every week when I'm looking at Luke which one he looks like. But now when I see her baby pictures, I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, dear Lord. Well, he looks like both of them. But still, you know, that's little Sarah, you know. So, either one of you or both of you can share, or you don't have to. But I'd like for at least one of you just to share for just a little bit.
Well, there's a lot I could say. I had a lot written down, but I'll try to keep it short, especially since Sarah's standing here. But the way that we were raised, we were trained up in the way that we should go, would go on this walk. When my parents got the book and everything, we're praying in tongues. Okay. I was 7 years old. My dad explained to me how to receive the Holy Ghost. I remember how he did it, too. He handed me, he was trying to explain to me what the word receive meant, because I guess I didn't know. I was 7 years, even though I probably did, but maybe he didn't know I knew. But he handed me this bottle of water, and he said, you just received that. I just gave it to you. And I was like, okay, I understand. So we're in this house in Corkscrew, by the Corkscrew Sanctuary Swamp. We call it the Honey House. It was just a small little house, and there was this step that went up into the kitchen and the dining room. And as a family, for I think only 15 to 20 minutes a night, we would all kneel down on there and just pray in tongues. And that's what we did that. And then as they grew on the walk, we added things like private worship and reading the word and confession. And that's when we moved here to LaBelle. Part of our chores, we were homeschooled, so we had this long chores list. And at the end of the chores, we'd have 15 minutes of praying in tongues, 15 minutes of private worship. She would put on Terry McCallman, and then 15 minutes of she would say, go in your room and read 1 John. We probably read 1 John like 500 times, you know, at the age of 8, 9, and 10 and all that. And then she's like, when you've exhausted that one, you can read the book of Jude. It's easier. It's smaller. So I read Jude 1,000 times. So then we started doing juice fasting and stuff because, like, as little kids, you shouldn't be fasting. But, like, they would let us juice fast with them. We would eat other stuff, but they were teaching us. So from 7 years old up until I was, you know, a teenager in high school, every day we were doing this, and those tongues that I was praying when I was 8 years old. It was preparing me for this, for today, bringing her to me, working things together. The church uses that phrase, you know, all things work together for good in the wrong way, but the right way is when you pray in tongues, all things work together for good. That's the correct way you can use that verse, because then context, that's what it's talking about. So when I was praying in tongues at 7 years old, all the way up, it was praying out things for that time for me. You know, I was a boy going through puberty. Who knows what I was messing with? It was doing stuff for me for then, but it was praying out the will of God for my life. So I just say that to say, if you're raising little kids, I have a little kid now. We're going to pay him to pray in tongues. I was paid 20 cents every day to pray in tongues and do all these things. I saved up for a year, and I was able to buy a Game Boy Advance and 2 games for it. And so that was my, like, praying tongues, sure, whatever. I want that Game Boy. But Dave Robeson says, pay your kids to pray in tongues. It works. And we are proof that it works. So we love you guys, and we're happy, and we're ecstatic, and we thank God. And we just love you guys. Thank you.
How do I follow that? I just want to praise God. He takes care of us. He He's a really good God. He provides for us. He protects us. He said he would take care of us, and he is. And a lot like Harry, just like seeing my sister here today, my parents trained us up in the way we should go. I'm so grateful for that. I really, really am. My gosh. We, all four of us, I know there's a lot of talk these days about public school versus homeschool. We, all four of us, were public schooled, and we all had our battles and everything, but none of us strayed from this path that we were put on. We made it through that, because that's a battle with everything that's going on these days. But I praise God. I thank my parents. I'm reminded, honestly, of Esther. We were put on this earth for such a time as this. And none of everything that went on in my childhood, none of the interest in music. And my parents had us praying in tongues after school on the evenings for a season. None of that was in vain. It's all coming to fruition now. And I just want to thank all of you. I know you guys, not only emotionally and friendship-wise and community, but anything financially you give to this ministry, it's providing for the ones who are serving in it as well. So thank you, all of you guys. Thank you to anybody online who's giving. We just want to say thank you. And it's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. He's worth it. So thank you guys so much.
You guys did great. Hallelujah. Robert, can you come? Can you all stand, please? And I'm going to ask you guys just stand here, and if you'll face me. And it's Homer back there. Yeah, bring him forward, please. And then any of the elders that, you know, you're an elder here. I haven't ordained you, but maybe I have. Any of the elders, come, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Yes. Worship you, Jesus. Nendala kara sola kare sedia soto. Nendala hare di olo sote. Yes, we worship you. Let's just touch him. You can just each. You can touch him on the shoulder wherever you want. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Thank you for this, Jesus. Thank you for this couple. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We release your power into their lives. Father, we glorify you and praise you. And Lord, we just bless their ministry. We receive them into this ministry. As it was when Asaph was ordained by David to bring forth the praise and the worship in the tent of tabernacles. And then Solomon brought the sons of Asaph, the worshipers, the musicians. Lord, we pray that this anointing by the Holy Spirit of Asaph will rest upon them, and the power of God will rest upon their seed and blessings over their life and their finances. Take them into places of glory in their own spiritual walk. Let them come to places that they've never seen or understood or known before. Let your glory rest upon them in a very powerful way. Lord, we release your glory upon them. We ordain them into this particular part of their life and into their ministry. We welcome them. We bless them. We pray your glory rest upon them and in them, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, this we pray and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated for just a moment. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. I'm just listening. to the Lord. And I know our kids are going to need to be released. And I want to worship you, Jesus. Let's just worship him for just a moment. We exalt him. We praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And they could have said, yes, sir. When he interrupts me, and I'm going one way, and then he brings me into another, I can't help but to follow pictures and wisdom when it comes, and words of knowledge. And you're helping me when you're praying for me out there through the camera or in here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Alosoto. Exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you, Jesus. Yours is the glory. Yours is the glory. Yours is the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I look at us. And I can say to you, Jesus, Jesus. We don't come here, and I know I'm not saying that as a pronouncement of just myself, but we don't come here just to have some meeting or go through a format. Ours is always getting us prepared to receive this outpouring and then also equip you. One of the things that I do in labor and prayer for, part of the fivefold is the equipping of the saints. Well, that's usually understood like equipping them with spiritual things. And it is, that's the first and foremost. But equipping means shepherding and watching over the flock in all matters of life and death. And preparing them for the times and the seasons so that they're not left out in the cold. I'm not being mean. I'm just so thankful I don't go to a woke church. Why? Because woke is disgusting? No, because woke is going to be, they're going to have a rude awakening. Horrible awakening when they discover how weak they are against the times. Now's the time to prepare. Now's the time to prepare first for our revival, secondly, to fight with all we have, with everything inside of us in the next 93 days. We dismiss things and we think that can't happen here. Sometimes, not just one, so this isn't going out to just one. But people may recognize who they are. And I'll say this, the people that listen to me, I don't know why people even listen to me. I'm privileged that anybody, any of you would sit here and listen. But sometimes You know, when you're speaking to hundreds of people that are watching, or people try to help you. They'll send you stuff and they'll try to help you. Not meaning to be mean or anything, but they'll want to try to make sure, guide a little bit. That's okay, because I know everybody loves me. Sometimes there's kind of a underlining thought, like maybe you're getting ahead of yourself or too much in warning the people on all this current stuff that sounds political and this and that and the other. Even some are, I get sometimes, gently trying to warn me not to overly promote President Trump. He's not my Savior. I've been seeking revival for 30 years. I didn't even watch your fire show or whatever that was. I didn't know who he was. But I'll tell you this. He's God's choice for the hour. That I know. Sometimes people rail about, he's going to fool you, he's going to fool you, he's this, that, and the other. Well, listen. My only thing is, if you're beefing about this or that or the other, what's your solution? What solution do you offer? I mean, okay, you're forecasting problems that we're going to have with him. But okay, let's put that aside. You don't think I don't see possibilities? But to say that it'd be like saying the dam is about to burst. We've got a temporary solution to maybe hold back the dam, but there's no need to do that because it's going to break anyway. Come on. Sometimes people will forecast something and I don't think none of these people that ever talk to me, just so they can say in the future, see, I told you. Well, what other solution do you have if you're going to say that this is a problem right now? How would you say, well, we need to raise up? No, you're living in a fairy tale world. That's the millennial reign of Christ. That's not... We've only got two choices right now. And this, God did everything he could to get the best that he could to offer right now. So you got to go with God. You got to go with God. Despite whatever 5 years, 10 years could possibly reveal, you got to go with God. And you got to fight for it. Because we got to fight for these. These are my babies. Those are your babies. We got to fight. We got to make every difference that we can. People think, oh, Pastor, you're going on too much about this sometimes. I just work here. I want to preach his gospel, and I will. But I'm prepared to every service, if he said, to bring something up about it. So if that offends you, and I don't think it really does, not even people that have helped, trying to help me, I don't know what to tell you, except I'll humbly stay in his presence. But people always, generation after generation, people underestimate the ability for things to change and that things to change suddenly. The Carthians, when Rome was just a city-state, They weren't even an empire yet. And they'd fought two Punic wars with the Carthians. And the Carthians had come under subordinates to them because the Carthians were almost equal power, and the Romans had lost hundreds of thousands of legionaries through two Punic wars, and the Romans were really they were scared of the Carthians. Hannibal, that famous African with his elephant infantry, had invaded close to Rome a couple of times. And there'd been some incredible battles through 200 or 300 years. But when the Romans surrounded Carthage, it was a huge port city in North Africa. The Carthians, they never dreamed. They said, we've had war with these people before, and it hasn't come to anything like, it's always been settled with a diplomatic reasoning. The only thing they underestimated, the Romans,
149
to 145, that's the years, B.C., the siege of Carthage. The Romans, they said, we're probably going to, these people might conquer us one day, so they sent down their legions, and for 4 years, and people went into Carthage. There was 500,000 of them. And they didn't believe, the Carthians did not believe that Rome would ever do what they did. They said, no, we've existed for hundreds of years, kind of like America. But they sent a young general down that was replaced some failed consuls that could not conquer Carthage. His name was Scipio, and he was commissioned by the Senate of Rome. And he found a way to get in. And when he went in, he destroyed 500,000 Carthaginians. Just completely wiped out the whole, except for a few, 50,000 or so. Wiped out the whole city, the whole civilization. The reason being is they thought, this is only propaganda. It'll never come to us. This won't happen to us. They underestimated their enemies. We fought two. This third Punic War that we're fighting, it'll be just like the first two. And it wasn't. And that same history of civilizations has repeated itself maybe dozens of times. Maybe dozens of times. When the Thebans in 335 BC, who were subordinate already to the Macedonians, they rebelled, the Thebans at the city-state, the Greek city-state of Thebes, they said, we'll rebel. They were the militaristic part of Greece. And they said, we'll rebel against them because these Macedonians, they won't do anything to us. And the Thebans were really extreme fighters, Greek fighters. Athens and Corinth actually allowed them to be there, though Thebes was actually a smaller city-state than Athens or Corinth. They allowed them, the Thebes, to fight their battles for them because they were warlike warriors. Just fearsome warriors. But they underestimated when a man named Philip II was assassinated, his son took over. And his son's name was Alexander the Great. And when he came down, it was basically all over for the Thebans. He went in, same thing like the Romans did to Carthage, or the Carthians, wiped them out. Why are you saying all this? I'm saying this because we're living in times that people still, the church still says, I hear you, but you're just on a zealous kind of soapbox, a stump. Every state now is a border state. Why are you saying that? I'm saying that they're coming in here by the millions. By the millions. Moms and dads, listen. And we got little ones still in here. I'm glad. But this is a different time. This isn't 5 years ago. It isn't 10 years ago. This is a different time. Watch them. Watch them. Candy and I were coming home from Aubrey's birthday yesterday, and I got to witness a border crossing. I didn't know it until I was going down the road. You know, storm's coming. I'm turned off of 80 onto Helms, and we meet Amber and Mike for the kids a lot of times on Helms, and 29, that's where we pick them up. But we're going down Helms, and it's kind of late in the evening. And I didn't see, this is where we think that's Texas or that's Arizona. It's among us. It's among us. You know what they do? And I knew this, and other people told me this. They bring them over here in trucks all over the United States, and they just dump them out. Hopefully they can just get assimilated in the communities. So I'm driving, and I'm looking about a quarter of a mile up in front of me, and there's this pickup truck. We're kind of even where you, if you're on Helms, you can look over about a quarter of a mile, and you can see the backside of Walmart. But if you go a little bit further, they've just cleared some property, and there's big palmetto groups. And then there's a strand of pines, thick pines that you could hide in. And I looked, and I said to Candy, I said, now what are them kids doing running like that? Because I thought they were kids. To start with, it's a quarter of a mile away. But I'm getting closer, and out the back of this enclosed truck, I see these aren't kids, these are grown men. And as soon as they get out, they run like they're escaping prison. I mean, run like they're escaping prison through those palmettos, single file into the woods. They weren't playing a game. These were, when I thought they were kids, they were short men, you know, Guatemalan size. They were running like they were escaping, and the truck took off after it dropped them off, and they're running in, and they're running in to hide into those. There must have been 8 or 10 of them. More than that, you think? Huh? 10 or 12. And I'm looking, and these guys are scared, but they're running, and I'm looking at them. I'm saying, my God, Candy, we're just seeing our first time border crossing. They're letting them into our communities. Now, just think if one of them, just one of those 12, was an MS-13. I know that 12, at least 12, got dropped off in LaBelle yesterday. I know that. There's millions, millions. You better understand the times we're living in. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What is our answer? Revival. But you also better have an awareness. If you're somebody that says, oh, no, that won't happen to me, or it won't happen to this nation, or it won't happen. It's happened repeatedly because people said, we're strong and that this is not grandma's world. This is not papa's world. This is not daddy's world. This is not 5 years ago world. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to stand up, and not one person in this church, or not one person in my family, is ever going to be affected in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But Pastor, are you going to stop barking about all? No. No. Because we're in times where we better pray like we've never prayed before. Hallelujah. My little one she needs to go get some coffee next door. Hallelujah. My little Ava, or Ava. Isn't this the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen in your life? Hallelujah. Who's teaching today? Tia? Okay. Take them next door. Stand one more time. Shake off any heaviness. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Praise God. Hallelujah. You need to cross the aisle one more time and give somebody a great big hug. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'll relieve you with him. For a bit, let any of people get back from their assignment. Thanks, guys. Thank you for your giving. Why don't we wait just a minute? Because I think, hold on, Marty. Let's stand one more time. If you had anything to give, bring it now. And for the third time today, somebody say hi to somebody, okay? All right, now, Marty, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I saw that yesterday. I thought, oh my God, it's right across from Gabe and Mavis. But then I thought, no, they're going to be fine. They got the Holy Ghost, and Gabe's got 47 AR-15s. So between the two of the Holy Ghost and Mavis can shoot as good as he can. And so, glory to God. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All the glory. We worship you, Jesus. So good to have you here, Phoebe. You want to say anything? She goes, what? Hallelujah. Worship you. We love that family. That's a great family. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just waiting on him. Candy said, "What do you got? You got any notes? No. You got a title? No." Then I said, "Okay, let me think." And I gave her one. I don't know if it'll match. She goes, "I'm not going to church if you don't know what you're doing." I said, "Man, Candy." So in Matthew 13, Matthew shares the same little bit different rendition of Mark 4. He teaches the sower went to sow the word, and all of the ground that it went on and all the struggles the word faced in an individual. It was consumed immediately, and then it had thorns and persecutions and trials and afflictions and cares of this world and all kinds of things that came to steal and choke the word. And Matthew records it as well. Hallelujah. He spoke that from a ship to soft shore, speaking to the crowd. And he sowed that into their life. Then he went on, because the disciples asked him about that. What did you mean, and why do you speak in parables? And he said it, he told them the reason why he spoke in parables. But that day he spoke many parables. There were so many parables that he spoke, a half a dozen maybe. He spoke on the wheat and the tares. The woman that hid 3 measures of leaven. The pearl of great price and a treasure hid in a field. So many different things that he spoke of, trying to get across to them the wisdom, a treasure. This treasure was hid in the field. This pearl of great price. Trying to get across the wisdom of God to them concerning the kingdom of God. The word says he went into his own country after that. And they wouldn't receive him, his own country being Nazareth. And they said, who is this carpenter's son to speak to us? We know his brothers, Simon, Joseph, Jude. We know all of them, and his sisters also. He's one of us. It says there he could not do many, or not do many mighty miracles because of their unbelief. He said, we know him, so he's not anything special. Jesus said, a prophet's not without honor except in his own country or among his own. Hallelujah. And then it says, and at that time, during that season, when all that was going on and Jesus' popularity, you might say it, or favor, was becoming to a renowned place. I mean, he was having persuasion. Here's the 2.0 or the 3.0 or the actual zenith of his. The crowds were watching him, and he's healing the sick everywhere he goes. And right after that, in 14, it says, and at that time, or during that season, that it says, Herod, the tetrarch, heard of the fame. He heard of the fame of Jesus. And he supposed, he said, this is John who's risen from the dead. Who is this? I killed John, but John's risen from the dead. And the word says that Herod had put John in prison because John the Baptist had said to him, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's Philip's wife. And Herod would have killed him, but he feared the people because the people esteemed John as a great prophet. And he was very popular. All of Israel, thousands and thousands were esteemed John. They put him in prison. But when Herod gave a great party to all his lords, and when the the daughter of Herodias danced before him. He swore with an oath before all of his dignitaries, and there might have been hundreds there, but I don't know how big it was, but it was quite a gala. He swore, I'll give you up to half my kingdom if you'll dance. Well, all our babies are gone. That's good. But if you think that all he wanted was a dance, you're very naive. If you think all he wanted and he would give half of his kingdom over because of a dance, we sent the ones that would just hear that and believe it was a dance. We sent them next door, rightfully so, the little ones. Well, the perverted part was her mother agreed to it and wanted it because John was testifying against her that she was an adulteress. So she sought an occasion to have John killed as well. So whatever deal she made with her daughter and with Herod for this dance, she said, because she had been told by her mother, what I want is what you're going to tell him to kill John. I want John's head on a platter. So this young lady comes and says, okay, I'll do the dance plus. But I want John's head on a platter. So that's what happened. She danced. We don't even want to know what else. But he sent and beheaded John in prison. And the disciples of John, they went and took up the body. The head went with Herodias. But the body the disciples took, his disciples, because he had disciples. You've got to understand there's a transition here. You've got a man that is extremely, extremely popular or known. And he's phasing out. Remember, he says, he must increase, I must decrease. It was a transition of where people would turn. He's now, thousands were looking at John, and now John is trying to, he knows he's passing his ministry, his baton of to the lordship of Jesus. And he said, I wouldn't have known him except that he who called me said to me, the one of whom you see the Holy Spirit is descending. Now, when he said, now you got to understand this, maybe you do. He wasn't talking about, I wouldn't have known who Jesus was, as in relationship to him. He was talking about, I wouldn't have known who this coming Messiah was. That was the ordination. The Holy Spirit, him baptizing him, and the Holy Spirit. These two guys probably grew up, we know this without any, I don't see how you could dispute this. They weren't oftentimes together as children. You remember Elizabeth went and stayed 6 months. Or Mary went and stayed 6 months with Elizabeth. First cousins. And they were close cousins. Close. Close family. They're not like, yeah, you've got a relative over in Michigan or someplace. These are close cousins. She stayed all those months waiting for John to be born. So you don't think that on family reunions, these two kids that were 6 months apart, that they didn't know each other. They were basically the same age. And they had to know each other. But he whom called me, God who called me, the same God said to me, he said, the one that I coronate as the Messiah, you'll know him by my Spirit descending upon him. And he did. So these were probably the, not probably, these were the two most foremost spiritual figures to Israel at that time, John and Jesus. Now we know who our Jesus is. He far eclipses John. But then the people, not knowing who they thought John was, they came to him. They said, "Are you the Messiah?" And he said, "No, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not." But he was that well known, his popularity. But why are you building such a case? Because I want you to understand the relationship between Jesus and John. It wasn't a hearsay relationship. It wasn't like, who's that guy over there in the wilderness baptizing? It was a lifelong relationship. But two ministries that started, John started before, and then Jesus comes up and he pulls up alongside of him, and then he passes and eclipses him, and John says, "There he goes. There he goes. There he goes. That's the one, not me." So when they took the head of John to Herodias, and that ugly thing happened, a man dies because of a perverted act. A good man dies. First martyr for Christ, although he's not in Christ. Really, the first martyr for Christ, in Christ, I guess, was Stephen. But John's on the other side. Hallelujah. But they were close. So why are you saying all that? It's because when Jesus heard, Matthew 14, when he heard, when they came to him, and they said, John's been beheaded. The disciples of John came and told Jesus, into 13, going into 14. He said that he departed. He didn't say anything about it. It's like Jesus didn't even address it. Why? Well, he was about to address it. He was going to address it in the only way that Jesus knew, in the perfect way that Jesus knew. He could have, based on his, let's use a secular word, popularity, he could have caused an insurrection and said, "You know what? John was a good man. Let's storm the castle of Herod." And thousands would have done it. But it was really peculiar, because Jesus is just real quiet there. He doesn't do anything, it seems like. He doesn't even hardly acknowledge it. But he absolutely does acknowledge it. He does take it to heart. Because here Satan comes with a striking blow. His disciples are going to be martyred in decades to come. But he strikes. This blow was against Jesus. This blow was to get as close to the cuff as you possibly could. To get some kind of solicitation of flesh out of him. So go to the closest relative, and the closest. The 12 didn't even know who he was. They're thinking he's going to restore us from Rome. He's going to break this Roman imperialism, and we're going back to an old Davidic, David kind of kingdom, and we're going to rule again like we did over all the earth. And can I sit on your right hand? John, he was the only one in the spirit. Can you imagine? Sometimes we'll say, "Nobody understands me." How many of you ever felt that? "Nobody understands me." Well, Jesus could have said it. There's only one person that even is close to knowing who I am. And they just killed him. So Satan strikes a blow right at Jesus to try to get him to react in the flesh, to say something, or to go into the flesh, get into the flesh. What does he do? He doesn't do anything except go into the wilderness. And when he goes into the wilderness, 20,000 people, maybe, I'm guessing, 5,000 men plus women and children, go into the wilderness and find him. And what does he do? What does he do? He doesn't get up and make a speech about John just being killed. He began to heal the sick. He began to cast out devils. He began to do in the spirit what Satan was baiting him to try to come out of the spirit and go into the flesh. Our war is not with flesh and blood, but it's with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And Satan will all the more, as we go into this last part of our journey, do everything he can to you and to me corporately as well, to bait us. Jesus healed their sick, and after that, he fed them all lunch with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and then sent them away. Healed, full, happy of the day. Do you think anybody in that crowd left sick?
No.
My God, no. What if he would have just turned for just a little bit and got into an argument over John? Satan says, come on, come on. Because he knows that our authority is in the spirit. He's no match for us in the spirit. But the moment that you and I step over into the flesh, Pastor Dave, boy, you can't improve on any of his messages. I remember when he used to talk about the bull and the matador. He says, you got this. And I guess you could still see it today, the bullfights, if you went to Madrid, Spain. But you got this 150-pound, that's about what they weigh, because those little matadors, you see them in those tight suits. Man, I couldn't squeeze in one of them things. They'd be bulging all kind of 150-pound matador with a little hat on. And he's got a red cape in one hand. We ride our bulls here. They release them to go kill people over there. Or you run in the streets and... You run in the streets the night before, and they take those bulls, and then they go and a matador faces them off. But for an hour, 50,000 people sit there and they cheer, because you've got this 150-pound man standing there with his little beanie cap on and a red cape in one hand. But what the bull doesn't know, he's got a piercing sword in the other. And you've got a 2,000-pound bull that if he had any thought whatsoever of what he was up against, he'd go over in the corner and just laugh for a bit. 2,000 pounds, big horns, 150 pounds, skinny little Spanish matador. And yet the matador keeps him for an hour while the crowd cheers. Look, and that's all he can face. That's all he can look. Look, 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 bull. Look, bull, look, bull. Ole! And the crowd goes wild. The bull never turns on the matador. Some of them, I guess, every once in a while get unlucky and get a horn. But the bull's always concentrating on the mirage. He thinks the cape is his enemy. And as long as he goes after that red cape, what should be subordinate to him, a little peewee, eventually does him in, because his mindset is, that's my enemy. If Jesus wasn't who he was, that in 33 and a half years, and especially in those last 3.5 years, the enemy continually tried to bait him. Here's the red cape. Here's the red cape. Come out of your anointing and fight this. And as long as people or men or women think, my wife's the problem, she's why we are having problems, or my partner's the problem, my business partner, or this or that, as long as he can get you or me or you out there looking at the natural and saying, that's the fight. That's the fight. I talk to people trying to describe to me their fight, and I haven't arrived, but I've fought enough to know you're fighting a red cape. You're not fighting the real matador, which is the culprit, Satan himself. And you got a wimp of a demon that's stirring up your flesh against you. And as long as your flesh says, that's the issue, that's the issue, that's the issue, that's the issue, I'm going to fight that. You never look behind the scenes. Jesus said at a presence in front of us is that he would not be drawn out. Our authority does not come from the flesh. Ask yourself, what is it that is disturbed? Why am I being disturbed? Is it really that person? Is it really the fault of my wife? Is it really the fault of my husband? Is it really the fault of this one or that one? Or as perfect as I am, is it really the fault of your pastor? Jesus. I'm having problems. Because, no, you're having problems because you're fighting it in the flesh. You're running after a cape. You're a big bronze, strong, whether male or female, powerful force. You could run over the enemy with the word and with the spirit if you just turn and say, no, that's not the problem. Oh, but let me do this. The cape. Oh, there's a good cape. I didn't see that. The cape. Ole! Ole! The crowd goes wild until the last ole. And the guy's got, I want to go home and have lunch. And he comes by and in the heart. There's divorces that are scheduled by the enemy. There's downfalls that are scheduled. They can be averted. But whether or not they'll be averted or not is whether or not people take their eyes off of the cape and look into the spirit realm and say, wait a minute. What is it about me that has to die? What is it about me that, why do I see the cape as the problem? Because the flesh. But here's the other side of the ole. It's not just things that you despise. What about the oles of everything that you want? I want that red cape. I want that. He's over here. Your master saying, and he's not overpowering. You're never going to get him to be overpowering. He's saying, real soft, would you come away with me? Would you spend some time? And his voice is so quiet that if your oles, that if you've got a whole lot of things going on in your life, or a lot of things that divert you, like, I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that. It's not always, I hate that. It could, the red cape might be, I like that. I got to spend more time doing that. And he's over here saying, it's okay if you have a life, but could you share part of that life with me? Ole. Hallelujah. But until we go to the place where we can say, wait a minute, I see things how they are. It's not that person. It's not that person. It's me, O Lord, standing in the way of prayer. That you're going to raise up as spiritual giants in these last days and say, wait a minute, no, 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 I won't get involved in that. No, no, I'm not going to get involved in that. And no, no, you're not going to pull me in. You know, some of the best arguments it's ever been started at church. You, not this church, Pastor. Okay. And I don't even, I'm not talking about anything recent. I'm not even thinking about anything. That's good. I got a blank mind on that. There's no example in me that I'm trying to address. But don't get sidetracked into the red capes. Think about everything you're doing in this life and saying, is this stealing from me? Sometime. He's not asking for all the time. He's asking for some of the time. Hallelujah. How you doing, Harry? I don't feel so bad now since I'm paying you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You guys are the greatest. You preach to us like that and tell us you were the greatest. Oh, you are the greatest because you endure. Hallelujah. Let's stand and worship. We got just a few minutes before 12. Harry, lead us in something. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus.
Worship the King.
Yes.
Worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name.
Yes, Jesus.
When we seek His face, glory fills this place. As we worship the King,
Jesus.
Worship the King.
Sing it to Him.
Worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. When we seek His face, glory fills this place as we worship.
Sing it now. Worship the King.
The King.
Yes.
We worship the King. Worship the King. And we are in His presence to magnify His name. When we seek His face, glory fills this place as we worship the King.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus. We worship the King and worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. When we seek His face, glory fills this place as we worship the King.
Hallelujah.
Oh, as we worship the King.
Hallelujah. Stay with me just a minute in the prayer and in the Spirit. If you're here this morning or you're watching, the first thing I'll tell you for all of us, Jesus loves you so much. His whole life was about people. And he really didn't care how far a person had sunk, what they had done. And this is his heart now and through eternity until all things are done. That his blood has provided a way of redemption. Doesn't matter what depths of sin you've ever went to or how many or how often. There's a cleansing flow. There's a redemption. There's a welcome home to all prodigals. There's a come home, come now. If you're watching, or if you're in this place, and you've walked away, or maybe you've never been, today is your day to restore, to come back. To be washed, to be forgiven, to accept Him and to know that as this world crumbles, things are getting worse and worse. That there's a great harvest coming and God's getting us ready to go home. And you want to be a part of that. You want to be a part. If you're here today and you'd like for me to just pray for you as I pray this prayer with nobody looking around. Would anybody need prayer in this area? Raise your hand. Is there anybody that says, I want you to pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. And this is a prayer. I'll be more specific. Prayer of salvation. You're wanting to receive Jesus. Okay, I see that hand. I'm speaking, anybody else, those of you that are watching, if you've never received Jesus or you're coming back and you've not been following Christ, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the one that raised your hand, and of course I know you're just talking about prayer. I understand where you're at. Look at me, if you will, the one that raised your hand. Did you mean it? You want me to pray? I'm going to pray for you. I'll pray for all of you. Come on and come to the front. Joy, how you doing, buddy? You know your mama prayed a million prayers for you. She's up in heaven. She's the reason why you're standing here today. We loved our sister Vinny. God, what a saint of God. How about turning this whole thing over today? And I can see in the Spirit, the biggest thing is that you're scared that you're not going to be able to make it, even after you've made a commitment. Now, I said that I just wanted to pray for you, and I don't want to force you in. I'll just do what I said, pray for you. And that'll be my commitment. But do you want to make the next step and pray the prayer? It's up to you. You feel like that's what you want to do? Do you? Okay. Stretch your faith this way. Father, right now, you've touched his heart today. This has been by divine providence. Yes, sir. But he's come into this house. He's here because his mom prayed. And Father, we're asking you to receive him. Bring him in, Lord. Receive his prayer. And even if he feels like he cannot make it past this hour, encourage him by your Spirit that all things are possible. Could we all pray this prayer with joy right now? Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. I come home. I can't make it on my own. Help me, Jesus. Pass the temptations of tomorrow. But I receive you now in truth. In Jesus' name. Wash me. Forgive me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, buddy. I'm here for you, man. Just whatever you need. Is anybody else? Does anybody need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? You want me to pray for you? Don't pray in tongues. Joe raised his hand. You can stand here, buddy. Is anybody else that doesn't pray in the Spirit that you want to be filled? It's a great honor to have my grandson, and I didn't force him. Just raise his hand. Anybody else? Maybe you speak in tongues a little bit? You want it to speak more. You want it to flow. You may say, I got one or two words, but I don't have a whole vocabulary. Now, Joe, you've been around, you've heard me talk, me and Nana talk in our home and stuff, and you're super smart. So there's not a whole lot I have to tell you, except this is all by faith in. I see that the Lord's going to give you this. And the baptism of the Spirit is just, it's not different than what you're already an incredible young man and born again. But the Holy Spirit's going to fill your spirit up. And you kind of have to take this by faith. It's kind of like you're an artist. And when you sit down and you start drawing those pictures, you kind of got an image of where you're going, but it, every line draws a little bit more on the image. Well, that's how this is. You kind of step over into this and you say, this is different, but I'm just going to move my lips and I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit to put words in my mouth. And are you willing to do that? Okay, great. And so I'm going to lay my hands on you. The Holy Spirit's going to fill you. And you don't have to speak real loud, just soft, and just to let the Holy Spirit start flowing through you. And it may even sound like a mumble, but it's going to be the Holy Spirit. Nana, will you come and stand with me, please? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Stretch your faith this way. Right now, I see the Holy Ghost descending upon you. And in the name of Jesus, Josiah Trey, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now just begin to move your lips. That's it, son. That's great. He's doing it. Hallelujah. Wow. Excuse me for a little emotion. This being my grandson. Baptizing Jesus. Baptizing. Let your glory. Let your glory. Fill him, Lord. Call him. Call him. Call him. Just keep speaking, Joe. Pray with him, Nana. Let him keep speaking in tongues. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Nobody should leave here feeling sick or hurting in their bodies. If you're hurting, really hurting, please come up here and stand over here. This won't be a long prayer, but I want to touch you because the anointing is on me so strong right now. If you're hurting any place in your body, like you got, oh, I just haven't been able to rest because of this pain. Rosie, I do want to pray for you because you've got something coming up, a procedure. So I want Miss Gay and Barbara to come, and along with Rosie when she comes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, yes, touch her, Miss Barbara. You pray. So this is coming up this coming week. So we release the power of God. And this is going to reveal that God has come. And the power of fire, the fire of God, the fire of God in the name of Jesus. God, the glory of God, the fire of God in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Candy, put your... Yes, that's perfect. Hallelujah. Y'all pray for her. Release the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I release the power of God into the camera. If you're watching and you don't pray in tongues, but you want to, or you don't pray fluently, right now, just stretch your hand towards your TV or smart device. And in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God to you. I don't care where you're at in the world. I don't care where you're at in the United States. I don't care if this is a year later past this video. Release now the power of the Spirit in Jesus' name. This is revival. I feel revival. I feel the glory of God. Come in now through the camera, through the airwaves. Be filled. Just go ahead and start. Just say, just move your lips. Begin to move your lips. And whatever word begins to come out, it's coming up. I'm telling you, this is God. I'm telling you, don't listen to your mind. Don't listen to your head. Don't listen to anything anybody else has told you. This is God. This is God. It's Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, people are being filled. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Anybody, don't go away with an owie. You don't have to come back to church tonight so we can spend a few couple minutes extra. Hallelujah. Does anybody have an owie? Okay. Glorify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Okay. Jesus. Marty, yes, sir. I see God in those hips, and I'm going to release the power of God in there right now. Through the fire of God, go go, go, go. In Jesus' name, receive a healing in the name of Jesus. A miracle of healing in the name of Jesus. Yes, sir, son. High blood pressure. I believe with you right now for this to come down in the name of Jesus. 120 over 80. We speak and we command this in the name of Jesus. I command this thing broken in the name of the Lord, off the family, off this inheritance. In Jesus' name, I release the God. High blood pressure, go in the name of Jesus. Now, go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Take it again today. Let's see what. 120 over 80. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't want you to go away with anything, needing anything. How many of you need some money? Lord Jesus, we worship you. They're predicting that a dark days in the next several months. The stock market had its worst days in 2 years this past Friday. Went down. And they're predicting the possibility of the R word recession and maybe even the D word. Depression. But did you know that it doesn't matter, and maybe none of that comes to pass, that God has always kept his people? Amen. And Daniel prospered. He prospered under Babylonians, under Persians, under Medes. He just always landed on his feet and made money, or was blessed, went to the top. So I'm going to pray over you, not because I have a debt-breaking anointing or anything like that. I'm just praying over you as a man of God that loves God. And I'm saying to you, not based upon your gift, your giving, but upon your inheritance as sons and daughters, that in these troublesome times, no matter what the stock market does, no matter what unemployment rate is, or this or that or the other, I say in Jesus' name, these people are blessed because we have an inheritance. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. We're going in to revival. And as a result, Lord, on the sidebar is, not the first place, the sidebar is, wow, you take care of us, God. You take care of us. Hallelujah. And I say it had its worst day. I think it was not the Dow, but the NASDAQ had the worst day. Thank you, Jesus. But we have good days in front of us. Hallelujah. How many are blessed? Amen. Marty's healed. Glory to God. I don't want to go, but I have to, because some of you will beat me up afterwards. Bless him, Father. Thank you for this day and this day of celebration for Harry and Sarah coming on. And may your blessings be upon them and upon all this body and all those, our family that's in the camera and in their homes. We love you. We love all of you. God bless. Have a wonderful day. I will see you Wednesday. Unless he comes back, I'll see you Wednesday. Amen.